Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which each part does its share, causing growth of the body by the edifying of itself in love. Father, we bless you, we honor you, we thank you for these precious moments that you've given us. We thank you for the audience that's now listening, but don't let them just listen. Let them obtain every single word that you're going to allow to come out of my mouth today, because you placed it in my heart and you said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let the overflow of my heart be heard from my mouth on today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Go ahead and take your seats in the presence of the Lord. What I read to you is out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through verse 16. And these particular fivefold giftings, they called them the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. These are considered the equipping gifts of the church. These are the gifts that enhance the ability of the church. They don't necessarily enhance the marketplace, and we do deal with the marketplace, but they do a tremendous job enhancing the body of Christ. They were set up for that. They were given for that. And it is a gift to the body of Christ. If you have any of these five operating in the church, it is a gift to the body of Christ. Now, the problem with the church, it never opens the gifts. It never explores the gifts. It always look at the gift and then try to discern what's inside the box without opening the box. These five giftings have always been worthy of opening up and evaluating and gleaming from, so that you can be better at what you do. So these particular giftings were ignited in the book of Ephesians, which is in the area or the region of Ephesus. So Ephesians, Ephesus, that was a region. So they are unlocked now. So these giftings are now being applied in order to enhance the ability of the people of the Church of Jesus Christ in that particular region. So there's a lot of things and a lot of potential that was on the people of Ephesus, but without these equipping gifts, they were not maximizing their potential. There's a lot of potential that sit in the pews and stream in. But a lot of people, without training, you will never maximize your ability in God. There's a certain grace that's on everyone to do what they do. There's a grace on me to do what I do. Through study, I found that through my study, as I was reading, I found my identity in my study. I realized I wasn't just a pastor as I started to study. I would have rejected all my ways of thinking if I didn't have proper study and proper ways of being evaluated. So my thinking pattern lines up with an apostle. My movement lines up with apostles. My desire for structure and order lines up with the apostle. My boldness, because they always, if you read the book of Acts, every now and then they would stop and pray that the Lord would give them boldness. And every now and then I stop and pray, God, give me boldness. On Friday night, I was preaching at FCF, and the young people came up to me. And when they came up to me, they said, I love little white kids. I love your boldness. Yeah, yeah. They're talking about me all over Trustfield right now. because I went in and done what I do. I got messages from the pastor and other campus pastors on how much it advanced FCF while I was there. I was just the third pastor. I was the cleanup guy. But if I know I'm the cleanup guy, I'm going to function at my full potential, so it'll be a benefit to what I'm a part of and have been selected and invited into. So based on what I've heard, I've done my part, and I've done it really well, but I function in what I have been trained to do. I am trained. Sometimes trained people make other people who are not trained intimidated. Some people are intimidated because they're not ready. It's not because you're in arrogancy or pride. If you don't take the time to prepare yourself, something that's authentic and ready for its assignment could be intimidating to you because you have not found all your tools to work with. So in the book of Ephesians, as it's speaking to us, and it can't just be on the pages, it has to speak to us. Because if it doesn't speak to us, we're going to be a limping church instead of a leaping church. And most of the body of Christ is a limping church and not a leaping church. What is this year? Isn't this year leap year? Well, I found it very difficult for a lame man to leap unless Jesus gets involved. And I believe many of you, when you've been trying to evaluate the church, You evaluated the limping side of the church and not the leaping side of the church. Because there's a great difference in those who are leaping and those who are limping. So I want to walk you through here. I just want to walk you through. Proper equipping creates unity and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I can always tell when a people have not been properly equipped. They can't unify. Anytime you find a group of people who are on the same team, who serve in the same ministry or work for the same corporation, whenever you see and have the same vision, whenever you see that they can't come together and work together, it is because they do not have proper equipping. And without proper equipping, they're not going to have a true knowledge of Jesus Christ. So many people think they know who Jesus is, but a direct sign that you don't know Jesus is you can't unify with your brothers and sisters. That speaks to your level of maturity. That speaks to whether you know Jesus or not. Because Jesus is not for this section and this section and this section and this section and that side of the balcony and that side of the balcony. Jesus is for all of us. Jesus is not for the white man, the Latino man, the Indian man, the black man. Jesus is for all of us. But it's only when we're properly equipped that we understand that. You can be a full-grown adult, but still be an immature child. Let me help you with something. Just because you're 6 feet tall doesn't mean you're a man. Your size and your stature does not dictate the fact whether or not you are mature. Because I've seen some big little boys. And they wanted to make sure that in the book of Ephesians, we didn't have 6'3 men acting like little boys. Grown women who work in executive office throwing fits like little girls. The intentions of putting these gifts in place was to mature us. I've seen so many people throw fists. Don't give them what they want and watch them throw a temper tantrum. You've seen it too. As soon as they don't get what they want, they go in that little shell and they start acting weird. Then when you give them that lollipop, they come back out. That is a sign of immaturity, and you're not properly equipped for the place that you're in.
You ever heard, take it like a man? That means don't wimp out when you don't get what you want. Some people can't handle truth because they're not mature enough. So you have to skirt around their issues because they can't handle you telling you the truth. Because they think the problem is the identity. The problem is hindering your identity. So proper, it's talking about proper equipping. Proper equipping. So if there's proper equipping, there could be a lesser side of equipped, partially equipped. I partially know what I'm supposed to be doing. I partially understand what I'm supposed to be doing. And everywhere there is a partial, there's a cloud between you and Jesus and your understanding. See, my confidence and my boldness comes from the fact that I understand that Jesus paid the price for my sins, so I don't keep rehearsing my sins. The day I start rehearsing my sins in a day I'm not in is when I've forgotten the price was paid, and I'll keep living in something that is no longer in existence. If I believe that he paid the price, why don't I just go ahead and walk in the liberty of the price that he paid? I don't carry shame because shame is not my game. I don't carry shame because he took care of shame on the cross. Why am I going to be shamed and he took care of shame? He clothed me when he became naked on the cross. So if I clearly understand he was naked so I could be covered, I am never going to walk out feeling like I don't have proper covering. So this true knowledge, and when I say true knowledge, you can say knowledge. Knowledge means you know he was born, and he was born in a manger. And he was born in Bethlehem. He was Mary's baby. He was Joseph's stepson, because God was his father. Those are things that are just knowledge about him. But he grew up. Do you know enough about the adult Jesus, or all you know is the baby Jesus? Because sometimes you can get stuck with the baby Jesus. And if all that is that all you know, that's knowledge, but it's not the full truth. If all you do is stay at the cross, you'll always be repenting and never enter into your destiny. Because 3 days after he was laid to what they call rest, isn't it funny? Jesus only needed 3 days to rest. So if he stayed in the tomb and that's all you know about him, you're just going to have a good Easter egg hunt. But if he got up, and you got to understand the resurrection, because those who are walking around, woe is me, how pitiful can I be? I just don't know how to get myself together. That's all in the tomb. If he stayed in the tomb, you got to continue to deal with what you're dealing with. But my Bible says this, the true knowledge about him is that he got up from the grave. So if you want to live a dead life, that's up to you. My Savior is alive. He is alive and he's well, and nobody can convince me that he's not. And every time I call on his name, he answers me. You want to know why? Because he's not in a tomb. You will call on him more if you realize he wasn't in a tomb. The reason you don't call on him that much is because you think he's dead. And some of y'all don't think he's coming back because you can't even believe he came the first time. Okay. The true teaching removes immaturity and defends against deceitful men. So if you continue to stay on the truth, all the immature acts, people always say, well, I'm mature, I'm grown up. Well, okay. That's what you say. When you mature, you forgive. I can tell Jesus was mature, because the very ones that put nails in his hands whipped him with a cat of nine tails, 39 strikes for every disease in the earth. Put a nail in his feet. And to prove that he was dead, put a spear in his side. The Bible said blood and water flow. But we can't stay there, because the truth of the matter is he got up. And if you ever mature, you will start praying, Father God, forgive them, because they don't know who they've been messing with. They just didn't know. See, you're angry with ignorant people. The only reason they said that about you is they didn't know. But since you know, Father, forgive the unlearned. That's what ignorant is. Forgive the unlearned. Forgive the ones that didn't get the memo of who I am. Forgive those who only receive text messages from other ignorant people. So the immaturity is removed. You stop grabbing your ball and your bat running home, because they didn't let you back clean up. You stop wearing that false smile, because we can feel what's really going on in you. We don't care how much makeup you put on or how much you bat your eyelashes, girl. We know you got an attitude. And defends against deceitful men. Y'all always want to trust somebody just because they say hallelujah. Are they really reading their Bible, or it's just some kind of scheme that calls you to trust in those who are not trustworthy? I had the privilege in one of the services that I done on Friday. It was the lieutenants of the fire department. It was his brother, whom I didn't know. But he asked me, would I do the service? I said, yes, for you all, I would do the service. So I go and I do the service. I see, while I'm sitting there, this large truck, 4x4. And I'm like, you know, most white guys, their tires are dirty. But this particular guy had armor all on his big old tires. I'm like, he's not from here. So he rolls up. And we're sitting in the car. He gets out of the car. I get out of the car. And we speak. And he's the brother of the deceased. So we begin to talk more as we're standing there. And he said, I'm from Atlanta. He said, if you're ever in Atlanta and you want to see Tyler Perry's studios, he said, I am one of the producers. And I can get you in anytime you want to come, because you took good care of my brother that you didn't know. See, you never know. See, y'all not mature enough. Y'all turned down too many opportunities. Y'all looking around at the wrong folks. right there at Jefferson Memorial on that cold day, myself and Lady Davis got access to Tyler Perry Studios. All because we know an opportunity when we see it. Now, ain't no need to saying you want to go with me. That's deceitful. You've been hating on me for months now. That's deceitful. You've been rolling your eyes at me for a while now. And you were looking at me real cross-eyed this morning when I snapped about my daughter. But if you can't hang with me in the tough times, you can't hang with me in the good times. But anytime you change your attitude because I said something that you like, that is called deceit, because you didn't like me 5 minutes ago. And if you didn't know you were deceitful, let me go ahead and bring some clarity to it. If I got to do good to you for you to do good to me. Deceitful men. Lady Davis, they can't handle me because I'm not deceitful. They are so accustomed to deceit. So when you're so accustomed to deceit, when something authentic and real and genuine and has integrity shows up, you start to think something is wrong with that. Have you ever met something good and thought something was wrong with it? It's because you're so accustomed to deceit that you don't know the real deal when you meet it. Some of y'all were raised in deceit. Some of y'all lived in deceit. All of your friends are deceitful. You got deceitful people on your job. You went to school with deceitful people. Your best friend is deceitful. And you keep them in your life because you don't want to be alone. But if I was you, I would give them an eviction notice because I don't need no more deceit in my life. They wonder why I'm cutting some stuff this year. I ain't got time for phony people, deceitful people, talking about they in my corner and I can't see them nowhere. Those of you who are immature, you need deceitful people in your corner for you to feel good. But I can be all by myself long as I ain't got nobody around me that's second guessing me and trying to figure out how to get over on me when I'm trying to get them into their purpose. That's what the Bible speaks of. It speaks of deceitful men. Let's go back and read it in verse 14. It says this, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We teach you in here so you don't believe the foolishness out there. I can get my own prophecy. I don't need you to speak over my life. I got a Bible. And you're going to get mad since I wouldn't give you $5 for you giving me a word. I keep my $5 and go to church, especially the refresh, and I'll get my own word. Let me help some of y'all. If the prophet gets angry because you don't receive the prophecy, that's a sign that it's a false prophet. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. They take some time. They take serious time to trick you. They sit down and plan it out real well. They know your schedule better than you know your schedule. See, you just get up and go. But those who use trickery, they monitor you. They know what time you drop your children off. They know what time you turn the kitchen light on. You think they were sleeping, but if they were sleeping, how can they be deceitful? If they're sleeping, no, you were the one sleeping. They were awake. They know your timing. In fact, some of them that are deceitful, they know when you and your spouse are not on the same page. You got to be careful when you fight all the way to church, because someone may be looking for a mate and they don't want to wait on their own. And some voice in their head, as deceitful as it can be, has told them your man is their man. You have to be careful around deceitful people, because deceitful people hear a deceitful voice that tells them, in a year, you're going to have the mic up in here. The devil is a lie. Deceit always works in the mind that convinces people that error is real. That's why you need proper equipping. Because the further you go, the more deceit you're going to meet up with. So he gives us gifts so we're not fooled easily. It's one thing for something bad to happen to you. There's another thing when you've already done an evaluation and you know what's coming. And you know how to brace yourself. Some people say, I'm leaving today. I say, you left 6 months ago. I see your face. You ain't been here in 6 months. And now you're going to tell me you're leaving me. I've already prepared myself for your departure. And if I was to use some scripture, I knew your departure was at hand.
Okay.
Every car starts quitting before they, starts missing before they quit. Okay. Oh, I'm right in here with you. I ain't seen you in 3 weeks. Okay. All right. No disrespect. You're convinced of that. I'm not convinced of that. So I have to protect myself, because what you're saying doesn't add up with what you're doing. The greatest level of deception is self-deception. Convincing yourself that it's a way that it's not. When you start fooling yourself, you're in a bad place then. Some of y'all have been deceived by people who deceive themselves. Made themselves believe it, and now there's so much energy and passion in it, then they deceive you. At the end of the day, it's going to be a lie in them, and it's going to be a lie to you. I tell Sasha sometimes, I said, they really believe that. What do you do in this time of mental trauma where people really believe that they mean good towards you? Well, why did you get upset? Those are warning signs. I really want to help you. Well, why did you throw a tantrum when I told you to wait? You got to monitor things, because people are deceived in their minds. And that's why we need proper equipping, because they believe what they're saying more than you believe what you're saying. You ever walked away from a conversation and you know you were right, but you, because of the way they were acting, well, did I really? Y'all ever been in, did I really cuss them out? Did I really slap them? Did I tell them to get away from me? So you're on rewind now, and you're listening over and over again to see if your actions fit their accusations. So now we got all the reps around the camera. In 2024, I can't meet with anybody alone. I need some other reps around me. Because sometimes you know what you see. It was a fumble. They say they caught it. No, you say it was a fumble. Well, what I'm looking at, before you went down, the ball was on the ground. It was a fumble. No, it wasn't a fumble. I felt like I was still holding on. What do you mean you felt like? The truth of the matter is, what we see right here is the truth, and what you fabricated in your mind. Well, everybody treats me like this. Could you not be having a relapse? Okay. It's tough pastoring now. All y'all think y'all want to start pastoring, I just tell you, don't do it. Don't do it. No. Don't do it. If you're not called, please don't do it. It's some of the craziest times I ever seen in all these almost 27 years. I'm like, how in the world did that happen and where did that come from? So let me free some of y'all up. If you know that you done right, don't stay up all night thinking about the deception that's in somebody else's head. I want to free you up. Don't stay up all night trying to figure out chaos that's not in your head. You will be so confused by the next day, you will be in the same institution that they need to go to. No disrespect. This is just the truth. The truth spoken in love grows us towards Christ, is what the scripture says. The truth, I don't want to hear the truth. The truth spoken in love will grow us towards Christ. The reason we speak the truth in love is we want to grow you towards Him. So if the truth spoken in love grows you towards Him, then where does a lie take you? You ever said you love somebody so much you wouldn't tell them the truth? You ever seen people like that? They say they love them so much that they don't tell them the truth. I just didn't want to hurt them. They already hurt. They're already hurt. They don't have truth. They already hurt. And they're so hurt, they're hurting other people and blaming other people for hurting them. And they're, you know, hurting people hurt people. They should have put that in the Bible. So you don't hold back on truth. You make sure you're speaking the truth in love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's very important that we read it. Because what it represents, you can't have a gifting without the fruit of the Spirit. So you have a Baal, then you have a pomegranate. So all those who don't have the fruit of the Spirit, which is a fruit in between a Baal, you're just making a whole lot of noise. The Bible speaks of it being a clanging cymbal. But when you mix love with what you're saying, it begins to minimize the noise. And now people can receive and be changed. It's very important, before I go to my next point, it's very important to do more about getting the fruit of the Spirit than it is to stir up your giftings. Because I've seen a lot of nasty gifted folks. Y'all ever seen some nasty gifted folks? They can preach the house down, but just as nasty as they want to be. They said, well, you affirmed this morning. Listen, you still here to see me and hear me. That's a sign of love. Because if I didn't love, there will probably be some pews going out of some sections today. Okay. All right. So truth spoken in love grows us towards Christ. It's never intended to demote you, devalue you. It's never intended to cause you to be depressed for 2 or 3 days. It's never intended to cause you to give up on God. I don't even know if I believe in God. He corrected me. No, he loved you. You say, well, what love got to do with it? It's got everything to do with it. I'm only here because I love you. Because I have every reason to be at home right now. But I showed up because I love you. I know you don't all know what it feels like because too many people have been handling you. I guarantee you, what's her name? The dance. What's love got to do with it? What's her name? Tina Turner. What was her husband's name? Oh, he beat her down, didn't he? When you've been beat down, some of y'all put yourselves in situations where you were beat down. You said, Ike is not dead. So when someone speaks the truth in love to you, you start thinking, Ike's still alive. There was this girl that we went to church with years and years ago, and she hadn't dated for a while, and her husband that she had previously had, he was abusive. And this very nice guy, they were ending their date and they were standing next to the car. And when they were standing next to the car, he reached out to hug her, not to kiss her, to hug her. But when his hand went up, she covered her face. You can be away from them and they still be with you. That's why we got to speak the truth in love so we can grow you out of guarding yourself from things you need to be open to. My main focus for the whole day, I'm just going to spend these two just real quickly, and then I'm going to get you out of here. What is joined to Christ receives its supply and is able to do its part. Scripture says that we will be able to do our part. Every part doing its part. But we have to be joined to Christ in order to get our supply. As a born again believer, you cannot have your supply without being joined to Christ. And you cannot be joined to Christ unless you're joined to a Christ-centered ministry. My title is Getting Your Supply. There's no way to be really joined and not get your supply. I'm a living witness because I am joined to the relationships that God has given me. I am joined to them, and I can tell you that everything that's flowing through them flows into me. There are certain levels of wisdom that I have that I wouldn't have if I wasn't joined, getting my supply. You know, I love when this type of anointing comes on me because my pastor now is a storyteller. And as he tells story, he reels people in. So because I am connected, I am now joined, I get my supply. So when I get in front of an audience, and it doesn't have to be an audience that I know, because all people, if you can tell a story, you can captivate them, even if they're elementary about the word. So when he tells stories while he's preaching and I'm joined, I learn how to get up and evaluate my audience. Nobody's going to sleep because they want to hear the end of the story. You ever been up watching a movie and you're just dog tired, but you just determined that you're going to see the end of that movie? It's just getting exciting now. We're getting to that place, and I don't want to go to sleep, and I don't want Lady Davis telling me what the end of the movie is about. I need to stay up. Both my eyes are just dreary. I want to get toothpicks and hold them open because I am so interested in hearing and seeing what the end of that movie. I know my guy's going to win, but right now he's in captivity. Right now he's got blood running down his face because somebody has beat him to a pulp. But somewhere in there, I know the tide's going to turn, and I just got to stay up long enough. Even if I got to stand up and watch the movie, I am going to stand up and watch the movie because I'm not going to sleep until I see the way that this thing ends. So I'm getting my supply. I'm getting my supply. And if you're joined, you will get your supply. The reason I'm consistent doing my job is because I'm getting my supply. My sister is sick. I prepared like 4 or 5 messages over the weekend. But my supply is not denied. You want to know why my supply is not denied? It's because I am joined. Bishop Smith said, connected. You'll be surprised at what you get when you're joined. I know some people you just afraid. Won't you go ahead and admit it? You committed yourself and it didn't go well, and you said, I'll never commit myself like that again. I said that almost 28 years ago. I was sitting on the porch of my brand new home, 30 years old, had a great job, had just built a brand new house on an acre of land that I own. Got a little bit mistreated, telling myself, I'm gonna be my own man. I don't need them. I got a brand new house. I got a brand new car. I got the great family. I don't need anybody. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me, go read a book and then go join myself on that next Sunday. Sure did. And guess what? Guess what happened? The church, I went to the pastor and told the pastor, the Lord told me to come and serve in this ministry. And when we finished our conversation, he said, well, let's go to work. So we went to work. When he departed, guess who the pastor was? What are you running from that holds your future? Just because it doesn't look good now doesn't mean it's not where God has placed you. Just because there are some dilemmas now, because see, once you get joined and everything's really connected, it's not that easy to depart. The Bible tells me that if you could leave me that easy, you were never with me. And you can walk away that is out at almost 35 years. I don't know what to do. Listen, I'll be straight. I don't have to worry about the bills. I just make sure the money's in the bank. I wouldn't know who to pay. I think I can cook. They say I can't cook. I used to be able to cook. But I haven't cooked in so long. If a vacancy came up right now, I would not know what to do. See, y'all don't think about things. You need to count the costs. What am I going to do when I disconnect? Because I've been connected so long. I don't know how to live single. And I don't think nobody's going to put up with me loving God like I love God, like my wife allows me to love on God and love people. Because if you want your date night on schedule, you're going to miss it sometime. But she's just happy when we get a good date night. Or we just sitting there watching TV together and I got all of y'all off my mind. Last point. This unending supply causes growth that is built on love. Based on the scripture, if it's not built on love, it's not worth building. If love is not a part of it, why are we wasting our energy and time? What's the use of a debt-free building when we don't have loving people? What's the use of a mansion and you and your family are falling apart? I'll take it a step further. What's the use of a healthy body when it has no assignment? If God gives you a healthy body, that healthy body has an assignment. You need to figure out what it is. What is peace if I'm not going to share it? Lord has given me all this peace. Wonder why he gave you that much peace. Because your neighbor may need the peace that you have. Did you come prepared to share it? Yes, if you love everybody, you will share your peace. Sometimes you come to church with an exuberant praise. It's not just about you running around the church. Your sister or your brother may need you to just touch them just a little bit while you're praising. Because praise is contagious, just like depression is contagious. And sometimes you're overflowing in your praise because your whole world needs a praise and you have it. And if you believe that you have the praise and you have the energy and you're in a section and you on a roll and you don't mind sharing because you love, you don't mind sharing your praise, you don't mind sharing your peace, you don't mind sharing your joy, because we're joined together, baby. I'm talking about we're really joined together. And every joint gets its supply. So if I'm strong, you can't stay weak. If I'm happy, you can't stay sad. If I'm prosperous, you can't stay broke. How in the world can they categorize you as a loser and winners are all around you? Can I hear a sound that's coming from the winners? Look at your neighbor, tell him I'm a winner, I'm a winner. Tell him since you are at Refresh, you are a winner too. Ain't nothing but a bunch of winners up in this house. Ain't nothing but a bunch of winners streaming. That's why we are equipped. We are equipped to win. You wanted to be on the losing team, you should have drove further down the parkway. But since you know that we're joined together and we want to share and we want to celebrate one another, we're going to celebrate right now because you are a winner. If you had the confidence, if you had the nerve to come into this house, you are a winner. I'm sorry. I gave up the devil because I wanted to be on the winning team. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, at the end, we win. Come on, winners, make some noise.
Hey, if you're ever in the Birmingham area, we'd love to see you. Stop by, because everyone is welcome at Refresh Family Church. It's full of friendly people, a warm atmosphere, and a powerful word. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. or our empowerment service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're located at 117 12th Court Northwest in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll see you soon at Refresh. Want to find out more about Apostle Stephen A. Davis? Well, log on, because StephenADavis.org is now live. That's right, log on to StephenADavis.org now and you can find out all about him. Watch live broadcasts and get all the information you need at StephenADavis.org. Available on all platforms. Log on today. Refresh Family Church. As we worship together, remember our five goals: serving the needs of families, reaching the lost, equipping the saints, reaching the nations, and transferring to generations. At Refresh Family Church, we're more than just a church. We're a nation. To find out more, log on to StephenADavis.org. We'll see you next time.